God wants his people to relax and rejoice. Amen. Enjoy the journey with Jesus. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. In his presence is fullness of
joy.
And at his right hand, pleasures forevermore. Amen. We don't need dope. Amen. We just need Jesus. Hallelujah. And more of him. Woo, let your cup overflow. Hallelujah. You know, you keep on praying and seeking and pressing in. Before long, your cup is overflowing. But you know, I've realized something. Our mouth sometimes can be like a dam that's shutting up something beautiful. You know, we just need to lend ourselves to the Spirit of the Lord and say, I'm not feeling it, but I'm going to open my mouth and I'm going to open the floodgate of praise. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And as I do that, it begins to well up within me. It begins to flow out of me. Amen. And all of a sudden, everything around me begins to shift and change. The enemy says, I'm getting out of here, because praise is toxic to the devil. So we just need to give God praise. Hallelujah. Amen. We were designed for him and for his glory. And it's absolutely normal for people to praise their creator. As a matter of fact, the Bible says all creation praises him. And you and I were his crowning creation. Amen? He gave us charge of it all. How much more should we, his people, his disciples, cry out and praise him? Amen? All creation. You know, somebody, I heard this, and I believe this is true. You know, when the baby birds are chirping. You know, you ever watch the little baby birds? Their mouths are open. Amen? They're crying out, aren't they? You know what they're doing? They're giving God praise. Amen. And mom comes along and takes care of it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. And his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. It doesn't say seek ye first things and secondary the kingdom, but seek first. It didn't say seek family first, seek God first. Amen. God first. Prioritizing his things above my own. And then God says, and then you're not going to have to worry about the rest of it, because I'm going to take care of it. I want you to know that my God shall, not might, but shall, supply. I have to lend that my mouth to that truth and start to speak it. Amen? Because with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And salvation is also deliverance. So you need to confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart. You need to give flight to your words. Release the words, amen, of life. And there's light in the Word of God, amen. When we're aligning ourselves with the truth and we're speaking what the Spirit is giving us to speak, amen, we open the floodgate and we begin to speak it, even as it's contrary to how I'm feeling. I do the opposite of how I'm feeling. If I'm not feeling like it, I do it anyways. It's called a sacrifice of praise. And a sacrifice, amen, it is only for a moment. Amen. And God rewards that with his presence. Amen. With his joy, his peace. Hallelujah. So opening our mouth and giving God praise. Hallelujah. Yeah. Not everybody's maybe as noisy as I am, but you know, all of us have been given, if we can talk, praise God, you've got the gift of gab, amen? You can open your mouth and give God the praise he deserves. Amen. And if we don't think you have something to praise about, remember what Jesus did for you at the cross. The price he paid for you and I. Amen. We should be praising him the rest of our days. Hallelujah. And all eternity long. Behold the Lamb of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Hallelujah. Father, thank you so much for your mercies that are new this day. For your grace is sufficient. More than enough for everything we have need of, God. You have allowed us access to your throne of grace. And God has given unto us all things. Not just some things, but all things that pertain to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. Everything we need. Hallelujah. Gracious Father, we thank you so much. God, that we don't have to worry about anything, nothing. But God, we have refuge in you today. You are our hiding place. You're our deliverer. You're our strong tower, Lord. We run to you and we are safe. Lord, we know there's no hiding place down here except in Christ. Teach us how to find rest in you, to rest in your peace, Lord, to acknowledge and believe and receive what you've already given to us freely, for all resources of everything that we could ever need or imagine come from you, Lord. So thank you for taking care of us, Father. In all those areas where we are weak, God, you promise to be strong. And out of weakness, God, you will show yourself to be strong. So thank you, Father, that in my inability will be your ability. Where I cannot, you can. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in partnership with the Lord. You've heard it said many times, but God did not come to patch us up. But God came to change, to transform. He's a transforming God. Amen. He's a creative God. He creates anew. And he's making all things new. Amen. The day is coming, even when this present world, this present system is going to be replaced. Amen. And the kingdom will be here. The Lord will establish his rule, his reign from Jerusalem, and he shall reign over all the earth. The Lord shall literally come again, and it says that he will land his feet upon the Mount of Olives. Amen. And so, in the meantime, God is calling men and women, boys and girls, to his kingdom, to join with him, to partner with him, and be a part of what he's doing. God is preparing you and I for eternity. And so, we have to be very careful that we don't replace the Lord with temporal things. You know, sometimes because the way that we think naturally, we think logically, and sometimes God's ways don't make logical sense. Why? Because his ways are actually higher than the ways of man. And this is where trust has to come in. We have to trust the Lord when we don't understand. Because if you really know the Lord and you know his heart, you know the Lord is good. And even when bad things happen to good people, we know God is good. He doesn't change. We're in a sin-sick, broken world. The Bible is very clear. It is appointed unto man once to die. Amen? Everybody's going to die. And after this, what? The judgment. Need to be ready for that day. Amen? And the only way to be ready is to be clothed in him who is your righteousness, Christ. He qualifies us for his presence. Are you hearing me, somebody? But we shall all give an account of ourselves to the Lord. It's very clear in Scripture. So today is a day to repent. Today is a day to stop what you're doing, what God says not to do. Don't do it anymore. It's time to change. Amen. It's time to say, God, I'm ready to go with you. And we need to open our hearts, open our lives, and allow God to do a transforming work in our hearts. But God will not barge the door down. He doesn't kick the door down. He knocks and he waits for you and I to respond and allow him, respond back to his presence and say, Lord, here am I. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Lord, come into every area of my life. I want every part of me filled with you. I don't want any darkness. Amen. I don't want any demonic strongholds in my life. I want to be clean. Amen. Lord, I want you to sweep out all the funk, all the bad stuff, all those critters that want to set up camp. And so the Lord says, okay, but what you need to do is you need to cooperate with my spirit and obey my word. Amen. So you have to cooperate with the Spirit of God. Amen. When you get into alignment with the truth, then the truth will make you free. So many people are looking for methods and techniques to improve their lives. I have. Have you? You've looked for ways to improve your life. And there's some practical things we can do to improve our temporary natural lives. I mean, some people are into, and I'm not going to get into the nuts and bolts about this, but yoga, exercise, meditation, positive thinking. Hypnosis is another one. Visualization techniques, even being brought into the church, which of course is shamanism. Good living, good works, repeating words or mantras, chanting. Buddhists do that. Education, and even religion. People are looking for ways to improve their life. And of course, some of these are obviously Satan's tactic to open a person up to the demonic realm so he can infest them. Amen? And destroy them. And they're always, of course, dressed in a pretty little package that looks innocent enough. Little unicorns, you know. I remember we were doing deliverance from this young lady one time who, you know, after we'd cast the demons out of her, we discovered, she said, "Hey, Brother Keith," I was in youth ministry at the time, she said, "I want to show you my unicorn collection." Now, some of you are probably saying, what's wrong with a unicorn? Well, it's a symbol of the New Age Christ, which would be the Antichrist, for one thing. But you need to understand something. What the devil does is he always takes what God makes a certain way and makes perfect, makes good, and makes beautiful, and he perverts it somehow. Horses with wings, right? Just, you've seen it, right? A man's body with a horse, you know, a man's torso with a horse's body. He perverts what God makes good. And so he wants people to get involved in things that on the surface sound like a great idea. For example, yoga, which I won't go into too much today, but yoga is actually Hinduism. It's you know, it's really worship of the sun god. All those poses have a meaning in Hinduism. And so it's a subtle way that the enemy has crept in. He's got a lot of Christians doing now yoga. See, because we just didn't know any better. We thought, well, it's a good form of exercise, and it can temporarily make you feel better, by the way. It does have some physical benefits. However, we need to understand what we're getting into, and we should really ask the Lord to show us and direct our steps. And whatever we get involved with, whatever we accept, we should be acknowledging the Lord in that and saying, "Lord, what do you say about this? What about this?" And don't ignore that still small voice that's giving you that little warning sign, you know. Don't do that. Visualization techniques, you know. People have learned, well, what they do is they visualize, for example, something in their mind. Maybe it's wealth. Maybe it's gold. And they visualize that long enough until it starts to actually materialize. Okay? People do it spiritually. They may have, well, I'm going to visualize seeing Buddha. And so they visualize seeing Buddha. And if they hold the visualization technique long enough, all of a sudden they're seeing a manifestation of a living Buddha. People even do it with Jesus. They've had visions of Jesus through visualization technique, which is shamanism. Now, does God allow us to get a glimpse of Jesus? I believe so. There are some people that are more visual. However, what we need to be careful of is that we're not using techniques to get to God. Are you hearing me, somebody? We call on the Lord. Amen? We pray to the Lord, and the Lord will decide how he wants to reveal himself to us. But we don't try to make anything happen in our own strength. Because then we're getting in the position of being our own God. How about when it comes to miracles? I believe in miracles. We've seen many miracles. Amen? But how many know that you can't make God do anything? You can't command God. He's God, you're not. The only thing that we can command is what God is commanding. We come into agreement, amen, with God, and we command what he commands. We bind what he binds, and we loose what he looses. In agreement and with harmony with the Lord. But sometimes we just have an idea of something that we want, and we think, well, I'll just start a sanctified mantra and start claiming something and repeating and over and over. Jesus said, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions like the heathen do. You don't have to keep asking over and over and over and over and over, chanting things, amen, until they materialize. He says, your Father knows what you have need of before you ask. So ask, and you shall ask in faith. But when we pray, we need to pray according to God's will. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Amen? He didn't say, pray anything according to your will, but according to His will. And do you know that God's will is that you be joyful? God's will is that you be complete and that you have peace in your heart. God's will is that you be clothed in His righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen? God's will is that you have abundant life, overflowing, superior quality, and superior abundance. Amen? God's will is that His people would be satisfied in Him. That we would not go after other gods, lesser things, materialism. Some people have been shipwrecked in the faith because they've made their goal in life just to make money. Now, of course, we know we have needs. God knows that. God will take care of you. But sometimes what we've done is we've compromised the will of God for something temporary. Am I speaking the truth today? In 1 Corinthians 15:45, it says, the first man, Adam, became a living person. But the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. Life-giving means to vitalize or revitalize, make alive or quicken. John 1 and verse 4 says, in Him, Christ, was life. And the life was the light of men. So life is not in an activity that I do or even in a thing that I engage in, but life is a person. Jesus Christ is the life. He didn't say, I am a way to it, or I'm a part of it. He says, I am the life. Amen? Because nothing exists that exists apart from the command of God, let there be. Under the law, man sought through strict obedience of the commandments to be right with God. So God gave man law, amen, as a means of keeping him in some type of restraint. Because you know what happens when you are in a lawless society or in a lawless situation. It's chaos. It's anarchy. It's destructive, amen? People get hurt when there's no laws. And what we're witnessing today is lawlessness, aren't we? On a grand scale. Even the ones that are writing the laws are no longer following their own laws. So we need revival in America. We need an awakening in America. Instead of throwing the towel and saying, oh, it's hopeless, let's pray. Amen. And let's do our part to be an example and to be a world influencer. Amen. By the grace of God, we can effect change in our own little world. Amen. Where we live. Do my part. But in Romans 3:20, it says, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So what does the law do? It just basically reveals the fact that we are hopelessly fallen. That we're not able to save ourselves. See, a lot of people are, even in church, trying to improve their lives. They're just trying to add some good things to their life to make it better. But do you know the gospel is really never centered so much on us as it is on Christ? Amen? It's about what Jesus is doing, discovering what He's doing and partnering with Him in that. It's not me going out and saying, I think I'm going to do this for God, and said, God, would You join me? How many know what I'm talking about? How many besides myself have ever said, God, I'm going to go do this, and I'm asking You to join me? How well did that work? Well, we learned from that, right? He says, no, you can't do, apart from Me, you can do what? Nothing. So He's teaching us to trust Him and to acknowledge Him in all of our ways and seek the Lord for direction in our daily lives. God wants us to be fruitful. And He knows that we, apart from Him, can do nothing. So the only way to bear fruit is to remain connected to Jesus long enough until, amen, we are well nourished and strengthened in Him and brought to maturity in Him to where now we are producing fruit. Amen? I don't know about you, but I have tried to justify myself more than once. I've tried to justify things that I knew were not right in my own mind. Well, God will understand. Well, God is gracious. God is forgiving. You know, and how does that work? Does that work well for you? No. And we try to justify ourselves in many different ways. And, you know, even in good things, sometimes, I talked about this a few times recently, but sometimes even Christians try to bribe God, you know. Well, yeah, I know I'm doing this nasty thing over here and I'm in rebellion over here, but God, I'm going to do a bunch of good stuff for you. And hopefully the good stuff will outweigh or overshadow the bad stuff. How many know that's dead works? What God wants you to do is deal, amen, with the thing He's telling you to deal with, when He's telling you to deal with. When you know that when you're summoned before a king, you don't just choose the time and place. Amen. When God is calling you, when God is crying out to us and saying, stop what you're doing, that's the time we need to stop what we're doing. Why? Because the Holy Spirit never convicts us of anything without providing the grace for us to overcome it. And why would He convict us? Because He loves us. Why would we convict our children? Because we love our children, amen, and we don't want our children to end up in destruction. So we give them loving instructions, amen, and say, stop doing what you're doing. See, under the law, people didn't know the heart of God. They just knew the wrong and the right, the do's and the don'ts. But they didn't know and understand the heart of God, that God actually loves people. He loves His people, amen? And so He gave us the instruction, amen, out of love and to protect His people. So it wasn't to take away joy, it was to produce joy. But apart from His presence, apart from the Spirit of the Lord, it's just a dead letter. It amounts to nothing. Some people are very clean in their life. They live clean lives, but they're completely dead spiritually. You know what I'm saying? You can live a clean, moral, upright life and yet be spiritually impoverished. If you're trusting in yourself to be good, you'll be spiritually impoverished. If you're trusting in the Lord for your goodness, you'll be rich in God. If you're trusting in the Lord for your goodness, for your righteousness, for your holiness, for everything that you have need of, it flows out of Him and not out of us. It's not about how good I am, it's how good He is, and how good He is to me. And when I receive His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness, it produces a change in my heart that says, God, what can I do for you now? I've been forgiven so much, I love much. I want to live the rest of my life for you now. When you receive the grace of God, it produces change in your life. You can't be like you used to be. You can't live like you used to live. When the grace of God comes to you, you become a new person, a new creation. Because life comes from Him who is life. It doesn't come from us. So you can do all kinds of good things throughout your life, and there are a lot of people betting on the fact that I've been a good person, that somehow I'm going to heaven. But Ephesians 3:20, as it says, for it is by grace you are saved. Is that right? Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Right? It is the gift of God. And not of works, lest anyone should boast. Do you know, people actually come to church thinking that I'm doing a good work. That, you know, I'm going to earn some credit with God by coming to church. We don't come to church to earn credit with God. Amen. We come to church and gather with God's people because we've already received the grace of God. Amen. And out of gratitude, we're going to give ourselves back to Him and lend ourselves back to our brothers and sisters. Amen. To come together and say, Lord, what can we do for you as a people? You want to serve the Lord. You don't want to serve the Lord out of obligation. That's legalism. You serve the Lord because you love the Lord. That's relationship. When you receive God's love, you receive His grace, it produces change in your heart. We're all familiar, right, with the teachers of the law in Jesus' day. They didn't know God, though, but they were teaching about God. One thing they couldn't do, they could give people the law, but they could not reveal God to the people. Why? Because they didn't know God. All they could do is read or teach the letter of the law. How many have heard of Abraham Lincoln? I wonder how many kids today have heard about Abraham Lincoln. They're rewriting our history, you know. Well, do you know Abraham Lincoln? Anybody here know Abraham Lincoln personally? No. You know about him, right? Well, how did you know about him? You read about him, right? Or you heard about him. But if you were living at the time Abraham Lincoln was here, and you might have been privileged to be, you know, close to him, maybe a family member, you could say, yes, I know personally Abraham Lincoln. Why? Because you're in fellowship with him. You see, we don't want to be ever learning about God and not coming to know him personally. The Word of God, amen, is to point us to Him who is the living Word of God. So we may know Him personally. And when people says, do you know Jesus? You can say, yes, I know Jesus. He's my best friend. I'm acquainted with the Lord. He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He's real. He's a living Savior, amen? And He lives in me and He's with me day by day. And with each passing moment, strength I find from Him to meet my trials here. My Lord is with me. And the Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I need to do is follow Him. Amen? I know the Lord personally, intimately. And Jesus said, this is eternal life. That they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. So people in Jesus' day were actually speaking about the Messiah. They were telling people the Messiah will come. And they could explain to people what the Messiah would be like, and people heard about the Messiah. But they did not know the Messiah until the Messiah showed up. Amen? And yet only those who were open to Him, those who had a humble, childlike attitude towards the things of God, those who were wanting to receive, wanting to know the Lord, wanting to know more, were the ones that would say, Lord, what did you mean by that? Lord, show me the way. Show me the truth. Speak to me. I'm hungry. I want to know what is authentic. But the ones who were highly educated in the law and could speak and teach about the law, were puffed up. They were proud of their knowledge. You know, same thing is true today. Sometimes in the church, you got people who have a lot of knowledge, a lot of information, and they can tell you all about the Lord. And I appreciate people that can tell me all about the Lord. I want to learn about the Lord, right? But for what reason? So that I may know the Lord. Amen? So that I'll know when He's speaking to me. Amen? And I'm not going to listen to another voice. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said. You can't say you know somebody personally without fellowship. Some people rely on somebody else to teach them about God. Now, teachers are necessary. We need to sit and listen to teaching. Amen? But God does not want us to depend and rely upon others to fill up that void in our lives that only Jesus can do. Amen. God will work through people, yes. But God wants you and I to be personally acquainted with Him, to have a relationship, to have a prayer life. Amen. That is rich and full. And He wants us to be not a half empty, but an overflowing cup for Him. And you cannot overflow with Jesus if you're not filled with Jesus. Amen. That's why we're instructed to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. You remember Paul's greatest goal of life was to know the Lord. He said in Philippians 3:8, indeed I count all things loss, all that he had accomplished in his previous life as the Pharisee of the Pharisees. I count it all loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. See, again, God's not just wanting to patch up or to improve your life, but He wants you to be changed. Amen. We are to be conformed into His image. So God is the one that's going to do that work. But we have to be willing to come to Him. He said, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they are which speak of me. And he spoke to some, he says, but you won't come to me. See, sometimes we just want to leave that up to the priest or the pastor or the teacher or whatever to take care of those things for me. When you think about the five wise and the five foolish virgins, remember, it is the five foolish virgins that says, well, let us borrow from your oil. The bridegroom returned, Christ returned, amen. It was too late to go back, amen. They had to be ready when the bridegroom came. But the five foolish did not have an extra supply of oil. Instead, they wanted to go to the people that had oil and say, give us some of your oil. And they said, not so, we won't, lest we not have enough. What is he saying? He says, some people live on somebody else's Christianity. Somebody, they just draw all the time. It's like this consumer mentality. It's a handout mentality, guys. It's all about, what am I getting? What's in it for me? Instead of, what can I give? Because the way it works in the kingdom is give, and it shall be given unto you. God's looking for servants. He's looking for partners. He's looking for laborers in the harvest. He's looking for people that are going to come, amen, and partner with Him and put their hand to the plow, amen, and get busy for the kingdom. He's looking for like Noah's family, who they forsook everything, amen, and they were working on that ark because they knew that time was coming, amen, when God would flood the earth, and they knew that they had a certain amount of time to accomplish the mission of God before that door would close, amen, and it would be too late. And only eight. And every one of those people that were on board that ark were partners, laborers, workers. They were the ones that were telling people, listen, the judgment of God is coming. It's time to get ready. The same thing is happening today. People are being warned that the judgment of God is coming, but people are saying, la, 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 I don't want to hear it. Don't interfere with my life. I like my life here in this world. And they're not preparing themselves, and they're not joining themselves to Christ and His mission. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? It's a consumer mentality. Just, what's in it for me? Give me. Do for me. I'm too lazy to pray, so I'm just going to come and have you lay hands on me. You get filled with the Holy Spirit, amen, and you lay your hands on me and give me some of that oil. Guys, this is a time, amen, when God will do that. He'll work that way. Impartation, I believe in that. Amen. But what does God want you to do? Sometimes what God is doing is He's priming your pump, amen, to get the things rolling once again in your heart, amen, to stir that up. And then He's saying, now I want you, amen, to daily come to the source and be filled, amen, and know that you can't do anything unless you stay connected consistently to Me. Because if we don't remain in Him, He says you'll be just like that branch that withers and breaks off. Amen. Because it produces no fruit. Why is that? Because it didn't remain long enough and the roots didn't go deep enough for that thing to produce fruit. And that's why you see people like bottle rockets. They get all excited. They boom! And then what happens a few weeks later? They're gone again. Why? Because they didn't continue in the Lord. There was different things choking out the seed. The cares, the riches of this life. The worries. Too many other things. How many people in the days of Noah were saying, one of these days I'll join you guys. One of these days I'll get right with God. But right now I've just got too much to do. I've got to run to my business. I've got to run to my farm. I've got to catch up on those games that I lost track of. And the minutes and the hours, the days are quickly passing us by. And we're looking back and say, man, I'm looking in the mirror and I'm saying, I'm getting grayer. I'm getting balder. I'm getting old. O-D-E, old. And I'm thinking, man, it's time to get busy. It's time to get involved. But you can't be busy for God if you're not connected to God. Amen. Otherwise, it's going to be just you doing a lot of stuff for God, but you're not actually partnering and walking with God. So you're not going to enjoy it because it's just you doing all this stuff for God and God's not even in it. It's you and I doing a lot of stuff for God and say, God, would you join me in this? I know I said this before, and I don't recommend necessarily that you sit under his teaching, but as Bono from U2 did say something once that made a lot of sense. He says, what you need to do is discover what God is doing and do that. It's true. Don't just do a bunch of stuff for God. Find out what God is doing and join him in that. Discover what God is doing in His mission. What has God called you to do? What has He given you an unction to do? What has He imparted? What kind of grace and what kind of gifting has He put in you? And what do we do with what He has given us? It's not how much, is are we faithful with what we have? Where's your heart at? That's right. You know, guys, listen. I've discovered that when I refresh other people, amen? When we give and we bless and we refresh and we pour into other people, right? God refreshes us. When I'm pouring out what God is pouring in, the jar never runs dry. Amen? As long as there's an empty, open, available vessel, say, God, here. Pour it here because it's not going to be in vain. Amen? I'm going to start pouring this oil wherever I can find an opening. Wherever I can find a vessel, I'm going to start pouring the oil. Amen? And God will make sure that you are well watered, that you are refreshed, that you are taken care of. Give and it shall be given unto you. We got to get over this consumer mentality of just give it to me, give it to me. And then we just kind of cruise on whatever was given to us. And we're not connected to Jesus in our personal lives. How many know that you dry up really fast? And when the bridegroom comes, I don't know. Jesus spoke with authority because Jesus was under the Father's authority. Jesus spoke with authority because the words He was speaking was not His own words. Amen. The scribes, they were just speaking the letter of the law. But when Jesus came, He was speaking, amen, from heaven. Amen. He was hearing the word of the Father and speaking the word of the Father. So that word that He spoke was pregnant with life. He said, these words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So he was imparting life. And Jesus, we don't read anywhere where Jesus got burnt out. What did Jesus do? He got alone with the Father. He went up on the mountain. He went and he prayed. He got whatever he needed from the Father. Amen. He didn't have to run around looking for somebody else to give him oil. Amen. He was a supplier. Of course, he was the Lord. But how many know today, guys, it's important for us to be here and to sit under teaching, amen, and to learn the Word of God. But what do we do with the Word of God? That's the real question. Are we receiving it just for me, or am I receiving something, an investment that God puts in me, so that I can then take what I receive and I can share it with others? And as I water others, I myself will be watered. That's how you stay alive. You stay alive as long as you're moving in the flow of the Holy Spirit. A river is alive, amen, as long as it's moving. Amen. You get into a little pond or a pool somewhere, man, it's going to just get stagnant and stinky. Amen. If we're just receiving but we're not giving, we get stagnant and stinky. And nobody wants that. Is this making sense today? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. How many know that the Lord is our righteousness? It's about His presence. The Lord said, I came that you might have what? Life, and life more abundantly, right? John 10:10. But this abundant life He's talking about is not achieved through self-help. Amen. It's not through methodologies. It's not even received by something we do. But it's always received from the indwelling presence of Jesus, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So true Christianity isn't Christ and methods. It's not Christ and techniques. It's not Christ and formulas or Christ and religion. It's more than that. Amen. It's about life in Christ. Christianity is Christ. And if you take Jesus out of that picture, amen, you've just got dead religion. Christianity is Christ. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Staying connected to Jesus Christ is where you're going to find, amen, your life. You're going to be alive. You're going to be revived because you keep coming back to the source and drinking from the wells of living water. Amen, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And we've been given access 24/7. The heavens are open. Amen. We can come with confidence by the blood of Jesus Christ into the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And if there's a time of need today, can you say amen? We need the Lord. People are falling away. People are falling asleep. Even people that go to church are asleep in church. Guys, if there's no continuation, you're just going to be like a branch that starts to sprout and then it dies. It starts to sprout and then it breaks off. You're going to be just like that seed that fell among the stony ground, amen, that immediately jumps up and with joy receives the word, and there seems to be life, but it has no roots. The roots aren't deep enough. Why? Because it's not abiding, first of all, in the right conditions. There's an unrepentant heart there. It's stony, amen? It's not broken up, and it's not receptive to the word, because there's some rebellion where people say, well, I'll agree with that, but I'm not going to agree with that. And they disagree with the counsel of God, and therefore God cannot do anything with them until they come to the place where they realize that I cannot do this apart from Him. And I need His grace. I need the help of God every day in order to live above the world, the flesh, and the devil, and to bear fruit unto eternal life. And if I don't continue like anybody else to abide in the vine, amen, I will dry up and I can fall away. And it happens. Even ministers are falling and dropping today. Because we think, well, I can just cruise on what I got last Sunday. No, you can't. You dry up. People that bear fruit, people that glorify the Father, are people that consistently walk with the Lord. Are you hearing me, somebody? You consistently abide, consistently walk with the Lord, and then you come to maturity and you bear fruit. What we've got is a consumer mentality sometimes, and also we have this attitude of, I'm coming to get a filling here. Like, you know, the pit stop. I'm coming in to get fueled up, and then I'm going to go another 500 miles until I'm almost completely out of gas, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to plug in. Amen? How about staying plugged into the source every day? Amen? So you have a full tank, and you have full power and full effectiveness, because in Christ, He supplies the grace you need, amen, to be a light in this dark world and not to become a victim to the spirit of Antichrist that is taking so many people captive today. So many people are being drowned in the things, the temporal things of this life. And they're so consumed with just vain things that there's no capacity for God. They're so used to eating junk food that they forgotten what real food tastes like. And all this time they're starving themselves. But they have a false sense of being satisfied because they're filling themselves up with idols and other things and other gods and other passions. And God is taking second place. How many know He's not going to play second for anything? He's Lord, amen, of our lives. He deserves the place of preeminence. He deserves to be first in our lives. We should be acknowledging Him in all of our ways. We shouldn't be doing things and saying, God, would you join me in this? We should be saying, God, what are you doing? And I want to join you in that. We're either going to abide in Christ or we're going to abide in death. There's no middle ground. Jesus said you can't be lukewarm. You can't be in the middle. The woman with the issue of blood. Luke 8:43. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind Him and touched the border of His garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." Dunamis. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before Him. She declared to Him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched Him, and now she was healed immediately. And He said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Whenever we touch Christ or touch the Lord, we touch life. What was it that got Jesus' attention here? He saw a woman who had a heart for Him. She wanted to touch Him. She wanted to make a connection with Him. Jesus was surrounded with the crowds and people trying to press on Him, and she was desperate to get to Jesus. If she could but touch Jesus, she knew she could be healed. And it was the faith of this woman that got Jesus' attention. If we really have faith in God, we will seek God. If we really believe that God is good, we will seek Him. If we really believe God can, then we will stand on His word and we will persevere in faith and believe that one of these days, amen, God's going to come through for me. If we really believe God, it will produce action on our part, amen, to partner ourselves with Him. If we really believe that Jesus is coming again, then we're going to be prepared when Jesus comes. We're going to make preparation, say, "I need to wake up. I've been asleep. Amen. I got to get back to Jesus, and I need to start encountering Him, touching Him, so that He will impart His life to me." Why? Because the first Adam was a living being. The last Adam, amen, was a life-giving spirit. And if we can touch Jesus, hallelujah! He will impart His life. He will generate His life into you. He will quicken you. He will make you alive. You'll be on fire for God. When Jesus touches you, you can't be the same. And so sometimes we need to draw near to God. Amen? Don't wait for something to happen. Be like that woman that would press in, amen, to touch Jesus. Now one of these days, Now I lay me down to sleep. Guys, it's so exciting to have an encounter with God. Jesus is so amazing. Jesus is so good. Jesus is so delightful. He gives life. There's times when I struggle. There's times when I feel dry. There's times when I feel like God's distant from me. What do? Well, I just don't fold my arms and say, well, God doesn't care. God doesn't love me. I say, no, I'm going to find out where he's at. I'm going to get there. Amen. Maybe it's me that's not in right place with him. Maybe I need to make some changes. Maybe I'm not obeying his voice. That could be what it is. And maybe it's just that God is wanting me to seek. Amen. And find. Because anything that's worth anything, you will seek and find. If you know there's a treasure in a field, amen, and you've got enough money to buy that field, you could sell everything you have to buy that field. Because you know if you get that field, you're going to get that treasure, amen. And then when you get that treasure, you know, man, everything's going to be okay. I got the treasure, hallelujah. If you got Jesus, you've got the treasure, and everything you have need of, he will freely provide for you, amen. There's no excuse for you and I to be dead spiritually. I'm going to say it again. There's no excuse for God's people to be dead spiritually. God wants us alive. And if we need to, let's return. I'm not saying you aren't. I'm saying if you need to, return to life. Return to Jesus. Amen? Press in and touch the hem of his garment. Hallelujah. Pray through. We used to call it pray through. We used to take time. Amen? To press in and be at the altar and pray until I touch the hem of the garment of God. Amen? And God quickens me and strengthens me. This time's going to come in, I'm feeling dry. But I don't just say a little prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at night. Amen? We got to get to the altar and pray and call out his name. Hallelujah. And wait on the Lord. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Those who press in, those who take the time to be renewed, to be revived, to be restored, are the ones that want to touch Jesus. And when you touch Jesus, you've touched life. And when this woman pressed in and touched him, he perceived that life had gone into her. Amen. That virtue had gone into her. And she received her healing. Hallelujah. Because she wouldn't give up. Whenever we touch the Lord in prayer, his presence or his life is released. Whenever we sing and touch the Lord, his presence is released. Whenever we touch the Lord in serving others, we experience his life. Whenever we touch the Lord while reading or speaking the scripture, his life is released. Whenever we touch the Lord while listening to his word, come on, we are receiving his life. Has anybody been touched by the Lord this morning so far? But it wouldn't be of me. But God confirms his word, doesn't he? See, there's no life in methods or techniques. There's no life in religion. There's only life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So God wants you to be hungry for and thirsty for him. God wants you to take a look at your life, examine it, and cut out anything that is draining you spiritually. Get rid of the weights. Get rid of the non-essential stuff. So that you can press into him, amen, and be a vessel that he can trust and use in this world to bear fruit unto eternal life. And because when he returns, he's returning for those who are looking for him. And those who are looking for him are those who are living for him. Those who are forsaken their life in this world are the ones that are looking forward to the day that Jesus comes. Amen. How many know that Noah and his family had decided it's better, amen, to receive the ridicule and be excommunicated by the world, but be joined to God in his mission. Amen. Because we believe God and therefore we are preparing this ark to the saving of our family because we know God means what he says. God is coming again. Jesus Christ is coming again. And he says, when I come again, will I find faith on the earth? Good question. How many are going to be ready in the day when Jesus comes? I want to be ready. Amen. I want to be filled with the oil of joy. Amen. I want Jesus to be the center of my life. I want to be about my Father's business. Amen. I want to occupy until he comes. And when he comes, hallelujah, we'll be ready. Oh, come, even so, come, Lord Jesus. People that live for God are saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Today would be a great day. People who love this world will not say that because they're too entrenched in the temporal things. Guys, I hope you're hearing from God today and you're listening today. God wants to share his kingdom with you. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But we have to choose and prioritize our lives according to the will of God. How many here, after hearing this message, feel like, you know what? I want to pray a little harder. I want to press in a little harder. I want to really reconnect with Jesus. I want to touch the Lord, amen, and have him touch me. I want to be revived. I want to be strengthened, amen. How many are feeling that? How many are kind of getting your appetite wet a little bit this morning and saying, that's what I really want. I want to live for Jesus. I want to be on fire for Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to be in bed with the world. Amen? What has the world done for us except cause destruction anyways? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Thank you, Lord.